I remember learning a little song my mother taught me when I was a child, and the lyrics went a little bit like this. Oh, they grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grumble the whole week through. I can't imagine why she taught me how to sing this song. Well, the title of that song is Grumblers, and that has become the national anthem of the Israelite nation. Here in Exodus chapter 15, it kind of sets the tone for this passage, and it says for us here in verse 22, Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now, let's not be too hard on what they're going to do here. Imagine hiking through the wilderness with, you know, some 2 million plus other people. The first day, you feel the heat of the sun and the wind whips at your body. The little water you have is getting warm. It's starting to run out. The second day, you get a little anxious for a supply of fresh water. And then on the third day, you hear the good news. There's water just ahead. But then, verse 23 says, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Now, the Israelites arrive at what we would call a small lake of water. They discover it's contaminated. It's stagnant. It's bitter water. So now what do you do? Well, verse 24 tells us what they did. The people grumbled against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? By the way, you're going to find the word grumble 9 times in the passage we're studying today. I guess you could say they began grumbling on Monday, Tuesday, and the whole week through. Well, Moses responds here in verse 25 by crying out to the Lord, and we read here, The Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Now, what's God teaching the Israelites here? Well, he's teaching them to trust him. Throwing a log into the water isn't going to purify water, but Moses is obeying the Lord, and the Lord will take care of that. In fact, we're told the Lord made it sweet. By the way, the only solution to your grumbling and mine is realizing that God is in control. God is capable of providing what we need. In fact, verse 27 offers some more proof to that fact. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. They have reached an oasis here following a very difficult time. Think about it. God took the Israelites to the bitter water where their faith was tested, and, well, they grumbled and failed the test. Then he gave them water when Moses obeyed his rather unusual instructions about that log. And now here, the Lord has led them to an oasis where they have more than enough. My friend, this is the grace of God who lavishes it upon them and you and me as well, Ephesians 1, 7 to 8 tells us. Now, we come to another stopover in Exodus here at chapter 16, where it's been about a month since the Lord delivered them from Egypt. We read here in verse 2, the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And you're thinking, here they go again. So what's the problem now? Well, they've run out of food. You know, somebody calculated that it would take 4,000 tons of food every day to feed 2 million Israelites and their family members. If you loaded all that food onto a train, that train would stretch 2 miles, and that's just one day. Well, the Lord hears the grumbling, and again, he responds with incredible grace. He says to Moses here in verse 12, Say to them, At twilight, you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. You see, God, in his grace, sends over a huge flock of quail, and then he sends down a special kind of bread called manna. Now, I'm going to tell you, the critics of the Bible will say that these quail just so happened to be migrating from Africa, and they became so exhausted they were unable to fly more than 3 feet above the ground, and they just swatted them down. They're also going to claim that the manna was the excretion of little insects. And let me tell you, there's no way Moses is going to talk 2 million people into eating bug droppings. Frankly, that would have been a miracle. But let me tell you something. The critics have no explanation for verse 35, which reads, "The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to the border of the land of Canaan." God is miraculously providing literally tons of manna, train car loads of provision every morning for 40 years. Now let's go over to chapter 17 of Exodus, where the people are grumbling again a third time. They're out of water again. And we read here in verse 2, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" Well, the Lord is obviously listening in here. And he says to Moses in verse 5, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Beloved, God is bringing these people to the question of the ages here. In fact, verse 7 spells it out for us. Here it is. "Is the Lord among us or not?" That is the bottom line in life, isn't it? Is God really alive? Is God really powerful? Is he really involved in our lives, or is he somewhere running around the universe? You see, how you answer that question will determine whether you grumble or become grateful as you trust in the sovereign timing and provision and power of God. Well, what are some ways to stop grumbling and start being grateful? How do you develop this kind of grateful spirit? Let me give you two key action steps you can begin today. The first action step is the word remember. Now, the word remember occurs more than 200 times in Scripture. Remember. You're going to cultivate a grateful spirit when you remember what God has done for you, big and small. You see, grumblers have very short memories. They can't seem to remember anything good. Grumblers dwell on what they don't have, and they seem to forget what they do have. Take time to remember. The second action step is the word practice. Colossians 3:15 commands us to practice being thankful. It's continual. It's not something you do at Thanksgiving, and as soon as the pumpkin pie is finished, you're done with being thankful. Listen, anything in life worth doing well, being thankful is going to take practice if you're going to do it well. How about starting today? How about thanking God for the gospel? For your own salvation that was given to you as a gift when you believed in God's Son as your Savior. If you did, you happen to be saved and forgiven, and you're heading for heaven. So start there. Practice thanking God for that. Say it out loud when the devil says it isn't so. Say it out loud when the lights are turned off. Begin there. I'm part of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. God Himself says I belong to Him. Because of that, I can always be thankful. Listen, let's change our tune. Let's sing Giving Thanks on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Giving Thanks on Thursday, too. Giving Thanks on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Giving Thanks the whole week through. Well, until our next study, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.